All I have to do, check into my soundproof suite. He'll seek me out. What do you think?
Sounds like real trouble. You're gonna need plenty of legal advice before this thing is over.
Oh, yeah.
As your attorney, I advise you to rent a very fast car with no top.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll need the cocaine. Tape recorder for special music. A couple of ghost shirts. Get the hell out of LA for at least 48 hours. Blows my weekend.
Why?
Because naturally, I'm gonna have to go with you. And we're gonna have to arm ourselves to the teeth.
Well, why not? I mean, if the thing's worth doing, we're doing right.
So, all right, first question this week. Horror movie that will scare me, Damien.
Biodome.
Damn it.
Transformers 3.
I was going to say Pee Wee Herman, but like you totally got me on that one.
Doesn't Pee Wee Herman at least try to be dark?
I don't know. I haven't watched that since I was like 5.
All the Step Up movies. any movie from Disney that doesn't have cartoons in it?
Anything with Mike Myers after Wayne's World.
Oh Jesus.
So alright,
Brothers, just in general. Blanket
said. I already got that through the wire. What have we been watching this week? Damien, what have you been watching?
I thought we were friends.
Fine.
I watched Paul. You talked about Paul?
I did, and it was okay. Not like great, but in.
I praised it.
There are good pieces of it.
So this is Greg Mottola. Right, so it's Peg on Frost. It's about an alien called Paul. And it's pretty okay. There's nothing special about it.
You know what it is? It's a Simon Pegg and Nick Frost movie without Edgar Wright. And then you just need that.
No, but you'd think I thought they could compensate because Kirsten Wiig and what's his name?
Seth Rogen.
No, not Seth Rogen.
He's talking about Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman is in this movie. And the last time those two were in a movie, it's a little movie called Extract. And that movie's phenomenal. I love that movie. So how is it that they couldn't? I mean, Kirsten Wiig, she was really good in this. She was really funny. Like the curse words. Those were something special. But the movie on a whole, I don't know. It just wasn't like the premise, like the setup is good enough. They should have just made better jokes. I don't know what happened, but I guess it was alright.
Hold on. What, besides the obvious style differences, visual style differences, what script wise did you find different from Paul than the typical Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz?
No, I think it's just the jokes. Maybe it's because
I think you need to go back to those movies and turn the, just don't pay attention to the visuals. Mm-hmm. Listen to the dialogue and the script. It's the same style and joke.
But what I'm saying is because I think it might have to do with sci-fi jokes being played out at this point. Everybody on Earth has made it's the same jokes. You've heard there's nothing sci-fi related. Like that cross section, sci-fi and comedy, has been played to death. Everybody knows the Star Wars jokes, we all have alien jokes. Should I spot it? There's an actress at the end.
Yeah, I kind of alluded to it.
That was
well.
Clever.
Yeah,
but,
I love that.
There's also a lot of the jokes. I feel like I've heard these jokes before, or they just didn't land properly. And because all of the movies is centered around this one, like alien, and so they put in some religious jokes which fail completely, and they kept going back to the religious jokes which I didn't understand. But it just wasn't as funny. It didn't feel, the jokes didn't just didn't feel as funny. And then by the end, it wasn't over the top enough. Because when Vaughn, all of his movie end with some bombastic finish. This one, they tried it, just kind of fell flat. So,
you talk about the jokes being done before, and I guess I can kind of see that, but I think what got me was because of the way it was told and the characters that were doing it, it felt sincere. Which made it work at that time.
I don't want anybody to think that I didn't like it, you know. It's not like Best in Show where you don't laugh despite it being funny. There were jokes. I laughed.
Wait, sorry. Say that second part again?
You just claimed Best in Show was funny.
No.
Quote unquote. I get what you were saying. Ignore Douglas. Douglas is just being annoying.
Best in Show is terrible. This was actually funny. A lot. It's just not as funny.
All right. Damien wasn't saying the movie was.
I'm ignoring Douglas.
Two and two just came together to make chicken. All
right.
So just.
Right. Just chicken. I also saw Unknown.
I watched that movie this week as well.
New joint. His name is, the director's name is Sarah. There's a collet in front of, I have no idea how to pronounce his name. I was wondering what other movies he did. I wrote them down somewhere here. He did The Orphan. Fermiga and Sasuke. I enjoyed The Orphan. It wasn't great. But it was enjoyable. As far as horror movies go, this one was lean heavily on the good side and not the this is absolute garbage.
Alright, and before you continue, it's the same man who did Goal 2, Living the Dream.
I have no idea what that is.
Do you know what Goal is? The football movie they made three of those movies.
Again, sir, look, it is bad. I'm only talking about movies that I've seen and directed. When would I ever watch Goal 2? Huh? I haven't been to prison in a long while. Why would I punish for that? Alright. Never mind. So Unknown has January Jones. Do you know who January Jones is?
Yes.
Do you like her?
Not really.
Not as an actress. She's pretty, but I don't like her as an actress.
I feel, right? Like, no matter what I see her in, excuse me. And she's been in quite a bit lately. She was even in X-Men the other day. But
she was in Doors.
What?
No, she wasn't.
Who was she in Inglourious Basterds? You're talking about Diane Kruger, the taxi driver.
Right.
January Jones is a wife.
No. Sorry, I was getting them mixed up. Right, Kruger. January.
Who are you talking about?
January. Kruger.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank
you. I was mixing them up.
The taxi driver.
The taxi driver. Right.
Oh, okay. So this is the one now that was...
In Inglourious...
She's the one.
She's Shoshana in Inglourious Bastards.
Sorry, okay.
Because
I just had a mind explosion.
Because I was about to...
Why did her name get so
So yeah.
Diane Kruger.
Right. She's kind of awesome.
Right. And she's kind of awesome in this as well. I mean, she wasn't out-acted by Liam Neeson's greatness. However, this movie is...
Terrible.
Isn't good.
How many of us knew what was happening like 20 minutes into the movie?
I knew what was happening from the trailer. Exactly. Did I not tell you? Yeah, and you were like, but it could be something different. No.
I just love how he remembers everything right at the end before he kills something.
Blap. Oh, no, I remember that.
I remember.
No, I'll have the 2 minutes of fight scene.
Yeah, I'm Jason Bourne.
Was promised.
And I'll kill some guy with a piece of glass. That's what? this movie, it's mediocre. it's just not good, and that takes some doing. You put Liam Neeson in a movie, you already have a plus one. It's very hard to Can we use Liam Neeson better, guys, and stop wasting him in shitty movies?
I'm sure he's going to be in at least cracking pipes.
Right. So. Now, speaking of shitty movies, I rewatched Sucker Punch.
Why?
And I'm here to recant my first statement that I made when I saw it the first time. I enjoyed this movie.
Why?
Okay, then why?
I don't know. Alright. I enjoy all the action scenes across the board. He does know to do action. I do enjoy his action scenes. And the story makes just enough sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It doesn't make any. Well, no.
No,
it makes sense. But it's like
bad
stupid.
Yes,
it's like, really?
Yes.
Are you telling me, is this what you think a metaphor is, boss? Really?
But I still love it.
It's like in that shitty movie, Take Me Home Tonight. No, that's not
no,
a metaphor.
No, that's not a metaphor.
Oh my goodness.
Emily Browning, the only other thing I saw her in was Lemony Snicket, series of unfortunate events.
That's
love
a fun
that.
movie.
Love that movie. Definitely loved her in this, despite it making no sense. Also like the fact that she never dances at any point.
She starts to wiggle every once in a while.
I keep thinking that Zack Snyder is going to release his like director's R-rated cut,
right,
and we'll actually see the dance. And they keep talking about it, and they
actually
talk about how titillating and how, and then it'll just be like her actually wiggling
a
little
thing
stick.
About this, I think what really happened was that Zack Snyder.
Oh, now we need to get as much half woman around him.
No, but that's what it was.
That's
he was
possible.
Like, he's like, I'm gonna make this movie about you. You know, doing your dance, right? And then when I watch the movie, they realize there's no dance at all. He just kept all of that footage for himself because he's a
for his private time. For his
pervy
private time.
Old man.
I don't know about pervy.
He's a dirty old man.
If I had that amount of money, I'd hire all of those and have them walk around half naked for hours and hours. That's a great plan. I like that they shot Vanessa Hudgens. I've wanted to see that for years, and they finally did it in this movie.
Which one was Vanessa Hudgens?
She's the Disney girl.
Yeah, she's
the
in
Black
the High
Hair
School Musicals.
They shot her. I was happy.
The one who controls all the vehicles, right?
I have no idea. No, no, that's the Chinese.
I don't care.
Okay,
whatever.
Right.
I'm lucky for not knowing who she is.
Just talk about her.
I am happy. I'm happy that even in Snyder's Darkest Hour, action is still awesome. Can you imagine how awesome Superman is going to be? He's not even going to be allowed to look at that script. He's not. No, right? Nolan will look and oversee all the script writing bits, and then this, because he can do, even though it's a terrible script, the direction in this movie is still good. I can't wait to see.
I'd just like to rewind.
I hate Superman. I hate him. He's such a terrible character.
I'd just like to rewind like 5-6 years. I can't remember which year it actually was. To news breaking, Bryan Singer will be directing the next Superman film, just fresh off X2, and Damian going insane. And then he
look, that Superman was emo as shit, but I still enjoyed that.
I was about to say, from what I recall, Damian says same things.
Superman.
He likes this movie.
Yeah. But he
like
hated the action.
Too.
You were complaining about the action in that movie.
I hated the fact that there wasn't enough action.
Because
The action that was there was, dude, the guy shot Superman in the eye. Superman smiled at his. All the flight scenes in that movie were awesome. He made Superman catching a plane exciting. That should have been the easiest thing to do in the world. He should have just gone and done this, and this scene should have been over. But he found a way.
I do love that movie.
Snyder, I just hope that there is someone for Superman to fight in this Superman movie.
Didn't they hire Michael Shannon as General Zod?
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Who's the big actor that's going to
be
the father?
He'll be the evil dude.
No, I know who General Zod is. does can he fight Superman like a fist fight?
Did you watch Superman 2? Did you watch Superman 2?
Don't watch shitty movies.
Whoa, wow. You know what? Stop. Let's just skip.
I just like to let you know. I'm not even going to argue. So I just like to let you know that you're stepping on my childhood. All right?
I'm going to kill this. He'll have to die. First Star Wars, no Superman isn't going to end.
If I remember correctly, General Zod is from Superman 2, right? From those groups of right. So they are people who come from Krypton, and they have the same powers as Superman.
I saw the first Superman. Was
he first? Really, I love the first one.
But you have to remember, Andrew. The goggles were on at the time.
Yeah.
Right? No. There's Gene Hackman playing Lex Luthor.
Anyway, are you finished?
John Hamm. Where's John Hamm in Sucker
Punch? Are you finished?
I'm not finished.
So they could put it in on ad, John Hamm. And they could.
I don't want to talk about this movie. Continue.
No, I'm not. I'm
continue.
Moving on to another movie.
Continue.
Calm. I finally really watched Zack and Mary make a porno.
Continue.
Until it came up.
Continue.
I love this
movie. That was the first movie reviewed.
Right, I love this movie.
Movie's bad.
It's so good. He's going to join him on his trip on top of the mountain of Guinness.
I don't remember that. What was it? Which part? What? Which part was this?
That's when Brendan Roth and
yes, that was a really good piece of comedy.
This is so awesome. Right, Kevin Smith from
Justin Long had the voice like that.
Justin Long, Craig Robinson is in this.
Mm.
Right, I mean the movie. It's funny.
Craig Robinson had this spurt of being in like everything, and he's not in much this last year
because
and a half, realized, couple of years.
He realized that he should just stick to The Office. Everything else was kind of bad.
Right.
He was in Hot Tub Time Machine.
The final movie that I'll talk about is The Box.
Let's not talk about it.
You go away. I remember you saying, this movie. I love this movie.
Why?
I like this movie a lot.
You realize you're praising the movie by the man who did Donnie Darko.
I know.
What was that one with the Rock?
Oh, the Southland Tales.
Southland Tales, which even I admit to being shit.
No, I haven't seen Southland, and Donnie Darko is garbage. And it does pain me inside, right? This little black ball of all heart that he had to do a movie that I enjoyed. I did enjoy Frank Langella. Terrific. Absolutely terrific in this movie.
How'd you like him in Unknown?
He got murked. He was also in Superman.
No, we're crossing over.
Right. He was also in Superman. Guess who else was in Superman? James Marsden.
Yes, he was.
What the hell did you do in that movie?
Is it crazy that I don't mind James Marsden?
I like him. I don't have a problem.
I don't have a problem with him at all.
Langella is also in Frost Nixon, which
yeah, well,
I mean,
he's also in shit, why can't I remember the name? Masters of the Universe.
Yes.
He's in Masters of the Universe.
Gillian Jacobs is in this movie. She plays Greta on Community, and that was all footing. Also, I'm like, what is she doing in this?
She, you mean Britta?
Yeah, Britta.
You said Greta.
Britta.
When is she in this movie? Who is she?
She's a babysitter.
That's true.
Why is she in this movie? I enjoy the story that they told in this movie. I enjoyed how cynical the movie was. My sister was not amused by the fact that the ending was not happy. I was so glad because I didn't want to. It would have annoyed me to no end if they found a way to prevent what ended up happening from actually happening. I've been pissed. Some of the CG in this movie, let's just say, wasn't of the highest caliber.
Yeah, I remember that.
I kind of looked past it. because the performances from everybody, even Cameron Diaz, and that horrendous accent that she put on.
Alright, hold on. Right, first of all, I'm not going to stop you right there because that's whatever, but.
Ignore it though. Continue on.
Is it just me or. Is it that every southern accent sounds funny to me, as opposed, or is it that southern accents are supposed to be funny?
Southern accents are
I think I'm not even wording this right in my mind.
Just, I guess because we haven't been exposed to that many of them. It just sounds wrong.
Because I remember watching The Blind Side and finding Sandra Bullock's accent hysterical, personally. But then seeing everyone who was from that area claiming that's basically really how everyone sounds there.
It's kind of like in Fargo. I was like, that sounds ridiculous.
No, but there's a difference. That's kind of on purpose. But it's obvious that he's trying to make it funny, though. In these films like The Box and The Blind Side, it's serious. They're playing everything serious. But yeah, we're laughing in stitches at the fact that they're slurring certain consonants and all sorts of madness.
It's okay.
So, as much as this, it pains me to say this, I'm looking forward to whatever Richard Kelly does next. I don't want to say... Don't record it.
Don't worry, I'll cut it out.
He uses one of those beeps.
Yeah. As much as it pains me to say this.
that had to be taken out to save the credibility of what Damian White. Anyways, Douglas, what have you been watching this week?
Okay, so
Game of Thrones, sweet Jesus.
I was going to bring that up. I wanted us all to talk about this.
What? Sorry.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. So, Corporate Douglas has returned.
Ah, yes.
Right.
Movie
My list. My list is down to the bare minimum. I would say though that I'm going to get through the. I don't even want to call it crap, but the popcorn first, which is My Name Is Earl. I stopped watching that because, at the time schedule wouldn't allow me. But no, I've caught up on, or at least I caught up on the last season.
Right. The final season.
Yeah, the final season. And it was, just as I remembered it, pretty funny, easily watchable, and enjoyable. Yeah,
it's fluff.
Yeah, which is great.
I like fluff.
Me too. Anyway, now back to the highlight of my life right now, the fact that, John Luther is back on television. So the TV show by the name of Luther.
Have any of us gone to watch Luther since he talked about it?
You have, right? Yeah. Oh, you have. Oh, okay.
I watched the first three episodes.
That doesn't sound good.
Can you confirm Douglas's love?
I like Idris Elba for some unknown reason, despite him coming in terrible movies.
Yeah. Ring a bell.
I do love. I mean, I love The Wire. Enjoyed Losers. Again, I'm a crazy person.
Thor.
And Luther, I enjoy his presence on screen.
Except when he does a Jamaican accent.
But Luther is just so fantastic. It's beyond.
I like his British accent. I love saying that. He's British.
Which
makes all that does is make Sugar Bell even more awesome.
Yeah. But no, his show is superb. It's spectacular. If you're not watching it, you need to watch it now. You need to go back and watch all. I think there are like 6 episodes.
You know,
like
Game of Thrones and Justified. All that shit that was taking up space.
Well, True Blood starts this week.
I jumped off that one. I'll wait for the last
season. Entourage starts next month.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen in Entourage.
Of course.
That is definitely fluff. Christ Almighty.
But yeah, so there's
the same series for 6 or 7 years.
7 years. But at the same time, I like that fluff. It's tasty. That's fluff.
Exactly. Anyway, season 2 of Luther started. I watched the first episode and was very pleased. There's one other show, and I'm not going to mention Game of Thrones because it's not like Andrew wants to have some big discussion about it. But there's one other show that I actually technically probably shouldn't talk about it because I've only seen the first maybe 15 minutes of one episode.
Oh.
But this show is... It looks really amazing. It's called The Shadowline, and it's a BBC show. It stars stars Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Chiwi,
exactly.
Chiwi,
right?
That's all.
There we go. I knew I'd catch you.
That's good.
But yeah, it's actually another police drama.
I'm pretty sure that's what every TV show is.
It's like, Law and Order, SVU, UK, but we couldn't pay the licensing fees.
I'm pretty sure this is the road where you go.
Exactly.
They're fighting 19 wars. We need to believe that police are out there defending us.
But this episode started with I don't know how long it was. Could have been close to 10-minute monologue by a police officer searching a car that had just been sullied with crime. And, and that was probably one of the best scenes I've watched on a television show in a long time. I know Andrew saw it with me, and I'm sure Andrew has something different to say because I forced him to watch it, and that's never a good, you know,
never a good way to make Andrew watch things.
Exactly.
No, be honest, I saw it and it's good, I'm not gonna lie, right? But at the same time, I'm like, it's good. Now I'm going to go back and watch all the shows I already planned to watch right now, and I'll forget about this show for another 2 years, and then Damien and Douglas will start shouting at me, and then I'll eventually get around to it. Or they'll tell me 10 episodes in, guess what, it's not that fun, and I'll just not watch it. So that's about it for you.
That's about it for me.
Well, with the return of corporate,
one thing. Let me give you guys an idea of how terrible Shadowline is as a name.
No, stop. It's the Shadowline.
Sorry. I recently watched the Street Fighter movie from 1992, the animated one. Right?
Shadow Law. I was trying to remember. That's what the bad group is.
Oh, okay.
Think of... I mean, that's one step removed from the bad guys. Shadow Law, really? That's the best you guys could come up with. Alright, Shadow Line. It's about the dark element. Really? You couldn't come up with it. Just call it police.
Popo.
Oh, Jesus. That's
the fuzz.
Tepid fuzz.
At least I remember that name because it's so goddamn awful.
Right, so with the return of corporate Douglas comes unemployed Andrew. This week I've seen 10 films.
Yes.
But I won't mention them all. I'm just going to mention like the three really good ones that I want to talk about Game of Thrones.
Let's just get all this crap out of the way.
I don't think that was one of the three. I think that it just came out as some sort of subliminal message. You know?
Last night I sat down and I watched Happy Thank You More Please. That's the name of the movie. Yeah. Happy Thank You More Please.
I was watching that movie and gave up.
How far did you get into it?
About 40 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how I felt. I loved it for the first half hour to 40, and then after a while, I was like,
what is happening here?
What's going on? But anyway, you're
bald headed.
Malin Ackerman.
She's so pretty. Give her hair, goddammit.
Really? You think she's that pretty?
I actually don't think the world of her.
I think she's. I don't say she's ugly. She's not ugly, but like, I wouldn't say that she's in, you know, the top echelon.
Compared to what? Unicorns? What the hell are you talking about?
Hold on, stop. Let's not go down this road. It's going to turn dark and ugly, and you two will never talk to each other again.
Fair enough.
Anyways, Happy Thank You More Please. I actually kind of like the movie. I didn't think it was the greatest movie ever, and I think the reason behind it was it had a good story when you pay attention to Josh Radnor's segment. The story of him and the child, and then him and Kate Mara, that should be the movie.
She's prettier than Malin Ackerman.
Douglas, what did I tell you? What did I tell you? Stop it.
She's pretty, but guy, you're wrong.
So if the movie was just them, and they found a reason to put in an extra like 15 minutes so that it could fill out into like an 80-minute movie, it would have been fine. But whenever they take away from them and go into Malin Ackerman's story, or who's the other person? Zoe Kazan's story.
Oh, you know her name?
Yeah.
Wow. Well done.
It's kind of just feels like fluff. Like you're just waiting to get back to Josh Radnor's story. And it's just a bad way to do it. It's a bad way to fill time into a movie.
Is it just me, or did you wish there was a Neil Patrick Harris? Just running across the street in a suit.
What are you saying? You're sure he could have pulled it off, right?
But you know he's not in that movie. He's not one of the extras.
Because everybody would have known at some point. Just have him run across and just adjust his tie and walk across the street. I'd be dying.
Also this week, I saw Duncan Jones...
Moon.
Source Code.
Moon.
Not Moon. Source Moon. Code. Moon on a train. Moon on a train. Moon. I know Douglas has seen this movie. I'm not sure if Damien has seen Source Code yet. The film is actually quite good.
I can assume that Duncan Jones' name was attached.
But it suffers from twistology, I believe.
Sorry, what? Mixology?
No. Twistology.
We need to put that on the list.
I call it twistology.
Shyamalan
Ding Dong. Is M. Night a master of twistology?
No.
Damn right.
He's a student of who dropped out through one quarter short of passing the course.
He did one lecture and then went on to shitty movies.
Anyways, twistology. What I believe twistology generally is when
sticking
a movie.
With the word.
Yes, that's I'm awesome. Sticking with this word.
I think it's fairly self-explanatory. It's yes. The ology of twists. Keep going.
Exactly. Like chronology.
Anytime the movie.
Yes.
Right, so otherwise,
alright, sorry. Let's get back on track.
Back on track. So, this movie. I don't even know what to say.
Right. You did not enjoy the twist at the end. Is that what's happening here?
Yes, I think that is. I think that Andra thinks that it made no sense, yes?
Yeah.
No, tell us.
Is it deja vu kind of nonsense?
Funny enough, I didn't even go that far. Hold on.
Whenever I think being able to go back in time and terrible movies, one movie name jumps out first and it's deja. Not movies.
This movie is more like Groundhog's Day, though.
But I love Groundhog's Day.
I adore Groundhog's Day.
So, how are we? What is happening? Or is it not just love for this movie?
Well, no, it's just the concept. The concept of the time travel is like Groundhog's Day as opposed to Deja Vu.
And
Deja Vu is just like, I'm going back in time and it's going to continue.
It's terrible.
Okay, let's continue. Andrew?
So, what this movie really does is... It sets up a really interesting premise, which everyone's heard before. Let's go back in time. It creates a limit on it, so that he has a specific mission to complete in this limit. But then every time the movie starts to get a little boring, they decide to introduce a new fact that they forgot to mention. And that's what I call twistology, where they just start to build on their own rubbish by creating more. And it becomes... progressively worse throughout the movie. You start to buy it as you go along, but then I think, especially with this film, at the last one, when the film comes to its end and it does its last fact adding as to what this technology can do, you go like, really?
Yeah.
But at the same time, everything around that was so well done that I still kind of enjoyed the movie, and it's worth a watch. Definitely.
It was alright still, but he needs to go back to some moon. Moon Part 2.
How dare you? How dare you? A sequel to Sam Moon, are you high?
Sam Rockwell on a plane.
We'll never, no. Let's continue making crazy movies.
However, my favorite movie that I saw this week that I want to talk about, and I don't know if you guys have seen this film.
I don't know that name, so yeah. Come
is
on
Broadcast News.
What is that?
Negro
Watch. is that a you know what I'm talking about?
No,
Negro Watch. This movie is from the 70s, I believe, the late 70s, starring one William Hurt,
why
Albert Brooks,
Andrew,
and Holly Hunter.
Why you just love up William Hurt?
First,
I think it's because you hate him so much. I think that's
it,
the situation.
But. You're with me on this, right?
William not really. He plays the same guy in all his movies.
But, you see, I'd be okay with that if that guy that he played was good. And he played that guy well. He doesn't.
You know who he plays in it? You know who he plays in this movie? An idiot.
You sure?
Not dumb and dumber idiot. You know, he's like I don't read the newspaper idiot.
He's probably still John
Hurt. Yeah, he plays that Jr. Except he's pretty, so. Or at least he's supposed to be. Whatever. This movie is about a news media house.
So it's Ron Bergen.
And Albert Brooks plays the really smart reporter that everyone loves because he's cheap and he can write anything. Like, you put it into any story and he can find a way to make it interesting.
I don't really like him.
Harrison Ford made this movie last
year. That movie was bad, man. Very bad.
It actually is very close to that movie at times.
I don't want to give an opinion on that movie because there's too many factors that I like in that movie. One very pretty female factor.
She's prettier than...
Can we not do this? Can we not do this right now, please? Because he's still around, so...
So yeah, Broadcast News. It's a really interesting film. It's really smart in its humor. And I don't know what it is, but I love Albert Brooks. He's hilarious.
Douglas is also not on board with that. You're 0 for 2, Andrew.
So you're telling me you don't like Defend Your Life?
I saw that movie when I was 10.
That's the name of a movie, right? Defend Your Life or This Is Your Life on Trial or something like that?
I don't know if that's a name, but I know exactly what movie you're talking about from once you said. I don't remember it being funny.
Meryl Streep and Albert Brooks.
Just off the top of my head, the only movie that I've liked that he's in...
Serpentine?
Yes. It's a remake of The In-Laws. Have you watched this movie that he did close to that time called something like Finding Humor in the Middle East?
Yes, I've seen that movie. I've seen bits of it.
Didn't you? Shut up. Not only was it not funny, but it was fucking borderline racist.
I like borderline racist.
Which is why we're all going to watch The Guard. Which is why we're all going to watch The Guard. Anyways.
It's like, yo, I'm going to go to this place.
All of these movies I watched this week pale in comparison to the fact that Game of Thrones Season 1 finished yesterday. And I'm assuming we've all seen the finale at this point. So we can just open up spoiler discussions to the show, right? So, first of all, I think Douglas has to be the first one to talk because he's been the one fighting this show from the beginning. Right? We came on board really quickly.
Yeah, like 2 minutes into the first episode. Yeah, I'm here. Right. I'll be tuning in.
It took me like an episode and a half to decide I love it.
That would be, you know, how many series I watched week to week. Two. This and Justified. That's it. Nobody else gets
so the
that.
Question is, Douglas, you have now sit through 10 episodes of Game of Thrones. Are you still...
What is your verdict, young man?
I'm not sure yet.
Are you serious?
I'm just kidding.
He's doing that to trouble.
Exactly.
Nobody can not know at this point. You're either on board or you're never watching this again.
This show is pretty decent. It's not... I don't think it's lived up to its potential. I think it can be much, much better. But,
Are you watching anything?
Leave him alone. Let him talk.
Just because it can be better
shows?
Don't mean that...
Where are these better shows
no,
that you're
no,
watching?
No. I said that this show could be better. I didn't say that I watch better shows.
Oh, okay.
This show, it will be better. There's season 2,
right,
3, and 4.
Do you not see the dragons? I saw dragons.
This show, it's interesting. It kind of keeps your... every time you say to yourself, all right, they've kind of gone through the gamut of ridiculous shit that can happen. I'm done, you know, whatever, at the end of this episode. All of a sudden, they're like, really? You thought that was it? No, I'm going to throw you something else. And I kind of like that about this show. But at the same time, I kind of feel like it would benefit from some sort of stability, in a sense that, like, one constant storyline without constantly interrupting it with some sort of freak event. Like, you know, you've got, for example, last episode, well, not last episode anymore, episode before last, they chopped off Ned, what's his
Ned Stark. They decapitated Ned Stark.
You know, Now we've got his daughter running off somewhere. Well, they say the guys are going to the war, but I have a feeling she's not going to make it that far.
I think the intention is to take her across. Even if they're going to recognize when they reach the wall that it's a girl and she can't be a part of the Night's Watch, she's going to be by her brother. Her bastard brother.
Not anymore, because he's out finding his
Well, they don't know that. Uncle. They don't
but,
know
yeah,
that.
That's
but, yeah.
true. But, you know, and then, you know, you've got the Lannisters and their all of their shit that's going on. You know, the midget or the imp has gotten...
Peter Dinklage, kidnapped. Call him by his proper name.
The imp has gotten kidnapped and freed, and then the pretty one has gotten kidnapped and smacked in the face with a rock, and it's just constantly, you know, and I feel like that's good. There's nothing wrong with that, and it makes for interesting storytelling. But I also feel like I wish they could, you know, see something through without just interrupting it and being like, okay, new line of thought. All right, different direction.
More madness.
You know,
more madness.
I think the strength of this show comes towards its end. Like, it was building up this whole idea of the Starks actually becoming a power in the realm. And if it had gone along that line, it would have been perfectly fine. But once you came to this event where the king dies, Ned Stark, he tries to do the honorable thing as his character says he has to. And then he ends up getting killed, right? And Joffrey ends up being the king. And I think that's the greatest thing that could ever happen, having this child king, because he is going to create the most insane situation for this war that's about to happen. And every time you see him make a decision, you want Dinklage beside him to just slap him in the face like he did in the second episode.
Actually, you know what I want? You know what I really want? I want the imp to be beside him, telling him, no, do all this foolishness, when behind the curtain he's with maybe not necessarily the Lannisters, but not necessarily the Starks, but with somebody who's against Joffrey and who wants Joffrey down. That's what I really want to have.
And they actually even introduced this idea of possibly breaking up the realm towards the end of the season, where the entire of the North Army,
I think that's more than a possibility.
I think so, when you proclaim somebody the king of the North.
Pretty sure.
No. It's one thing to call it officially breaking up the realm, where they call him the king of the North and they stop this war and start building a wall, as opposed to calling him the king of the North and then going to kill the king of the realm, which would then make him the king of the realm as opposed to king of the North. Because if he actually goes to war and loses, then that king of the North rubbish just ends up being scrapped immediately. And I just really love seeing Joffrey do his thing, because you know that it's a child's mind. The child is playing a video game right now. He's going, ha ha, cut off 20 people's heads. And it reminds me so much of the opening scene of this entire series, where, well, it's not the opening scene now that I think about it. It's a scene right after it where the deserter has been caught and is being punished by Stark. And he himself decapitates the deserter after telling him why he's going to be killed and commits the sentence. He sentences him and has the execution. And then it reminds me so much of what he said at that point, where he looks to the youngest, I can't remember his name right now, the one that got crippled.
Bran.
And he asks him, do you understand why I had to cut his head off? And he's like, and the child responds, because the accuser has to be the executioner. Because it makes the man who actually tells you this is what needs to be done in the world understand the value of life. And that's why Joffrey can be like this and end up decapitating 20 people just because he finds it funny. And that's what I really like towards the end of the show. And there are dragons. There be dragons. How long were we sitting there, Douglas, and going like, dragons are totally coming?
Yeah, man, from
the second is said dragons.
Yeah, from there the dragons.
Someone said dragons.
I was like, yeah, they're going to find out.
The dragons.
Remember, I even said it during that episode, I was like, the moon's gonna turn right and red or something. And all of a sudden, since that other episode where she realized that she was impervious to fires, like, that's what's gonna happen.
I love this series because nothing is predictable to an extent. They put Sean Bean on the poster and he got murked with one episode left. This tells me that none of the characters that we like are safe from being murdered. Right? Being on the poster does not guarantee that you live through the season.
To tell you the truth,
which is
this show makes me want to read the book, because this is all based on a series.
Yeah, no. And this show makes me never want to read the book, not until it is over. I don't want to spoil anything for myself. Like, a couple episodes in, I was listening to some podcast, and one of the guests said, the end of the season is going to be great. I can't wait for the end. Right? And he's like, what happens in here? He's like, alright, so a lot of effed up shit is going to happen by the end of the season. Turns out, a lot of effed up shit happened at the end of the season. But this doesn't give me the, there's other movies and properties based on books where you feel like there's something, you're not getting the full story, there's bits and pieces missing. But because they have so much time, they can tell you all of the story. You don't feel like I need to read the book to get some backstory on who the Lannisters are, why is this. Anything that you need to know, even if they have to halt whatever it is they're doing, sit you down with some naked girl doing nothing and tell you the story, they're going to tell you the story. You don't have to worry. I enjoy that as the series progresses, there's less and less naked women doing absolutely nothing. HBO needs to stop that. We understand that it's on HBO. Alright, guys? We know you can, but just because you can. If I want to see naked women, I have the internet. Right? You don't have to put it in. I don't need it. Right? There's times that there is just for no reason at all. Right? The guy who owns a brothel in King's Landing, he's like...
The dude from The Wire.
Right. The two girls are pleasuring themselves.
When
and he's like giving.
He's in the last two seasons as the governor and the mayor.
Yeah. I forgot about him.
The two girls are going at it and he's just telling them these grand plans. And like, guys, you can't be doing that.
That's distracting.
Exactly. I want to hear what he's saying, but there's something happening in the corner that I also want to see. I enjoy, and what I thought when I heard about this as born out by the end of the series, where they essentially said, it's kind of like the like Renaissance period where people and all of that, but it's not the same world, it's on a different world. So that helped with the dialogue. People said fuck and shit and all of that. But it also helps that they're dragons. Goddamn dragons. Right? I've been waiting 10 episodes. And they finally... you just know that they're having a war amongst themselves. And then on the other side of the river, there's this crazy white chick with dragons. And then on the wall, there's like a whole nother war. So there'll always be something threatening everybody around them. There'll never be any peace. You said you want stability. Stability is boring. I want no such thing. Right? Stability is what happened when the series started, when everybody was in peace and harmony. And what did they do immediately? Chuck some youth out the window to ensure that the stability would stop. Right? They started the movie at the end of the stability. No one wants to see that. No one wants to see that. You don't want to see the king sit on the throne and actually get fat. For the entire series, you don't want to. You think you want to, but you don't.
If it's written by Aaron Sorkin.
Hold on. What you want is conflict.
Did you people not watch The Wire?
Yes. What was stably that? Stringer Bell got murked.
Omar got murked.
In fact, how many of the gangsters in the first season were alive by the end of
season. That's not fair, because the last two seasons almost had absolutely nothing to do in the first few.
Yeah, because all of those people were dead.
Alright, question. How many of the gangsters from the first season were not in prison in the second season?
Or dead.
Stringabell was not in prison.
Right, but he got murked by
eventually.
The right. Omar murked. Right. Only one gangster made it out, and he was introduced at the end of the third season.
Which one is this one?
What's his name again? I have trouble remembering his name right now. The scar dude.
Right.
Omar's the one. I know who you're talking about. Sorry. The one that looked like Fabulous.
Yeah. Wow.
Sure.
That's a special way to remember.
But it was Bubbles.
But he's not a gangster.
What the hell is gangster about Bubbles?
He used to put on hats on people.
Alright. So what we want is conflict. Because a normal life is boring. You want to watch a movie about our lives? You know how long that series will last? Two episodes. Or they're happy, or they don't think they're happy, despite having no real problems in their lives. Oh, this is fantastic. Let me just sit here and watch. Ah, nah, unfortunately, this anymore. Right? I want more conflict. Give me more. I want whatever is attacking the wall to attack dragons. I want dragons to attack King's Landing. And I want whatever the Starks people and the North people doing to attack back the wall.
And while this is all happening, Peter Dinklage can't die.
Right.
He's the one character I want to stay alive for.
I want all of his horrors to continuously be dying for. Like, she just walk outside from his room and a dragon picks her up. And he has to... That is what I want.
Okay. One question I want to ask.
And I want him to resurrect Sean Bean.
If you've kind of answered my question. If there was one character who died by the end of this season that you could resurrect or bring back, who would it be? I guess you've answered it being Sean.
Actually, it would be the wild youth, Drogo.
You want Conan?
Right, I want Conan. It's not going to happen.
Is that who that is?
He is Conan.
I'd like Conan, because I want to see him fight more people in armor, but that's not going to happen. But that's fine, because they replaced him with dragons. So I think I'll make it out. I think I'll.
Douglas.
Died in this show.
A lot of people
died in this show, didn't they?
They've been murdering people from like the start of the show.
Yeah. I can tell you that I'm extremely happy that Dragon Lady's brother is dead.
Yeah, I mean.
That was like one of the most awesome deaths of the show. Of the season.
We should give him an award for being the most hated person.
He was so
They wrote him to be that person, and that acting is. I mean, if he is not actually like that in real life, he deserves a medal. Because I hated him.
Who died that shouldn't have died?
I hope the bastard. There's only two people I want to stay throughout this. I want the bastard son that is at the wall. I want him to stay.
I want him to stay.
And I want Dinklage to stay.
Oh, of course.
Everybody else can get murdered.
Eventually.
Girls, wives, queens, everybody can get murdered.
The only person I can think of that I would personally want to continue to see, I want to come back and continue to see throughout the show, is, and I can't remember his name right now, the sword teacher that little girl had.
He's dead.
I want him to come back to life.
As far as I'm concerned, he's not dead.
He made it.
He smacked all of them and made it out in the shadows. Damn right.
His name in my mind
that got cut.
Yes.
His name in my mind is El Guapo. I call him El Guapo.
That's not racist.
Son of a bitch.
That's not racist.
Calling him handsome is racist.
No, it's not racist. Sure.
Douglas, I don't think you've answered the question, but I'm gonna leave you alone.
I don't really.
He wants everyone murked.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is that I've gotten very comfortable with Sean Bean being in the show, and so.
And they put him on the poster.
I know, right? But at the same time.
I can't wait for next season. Next season, I hope they put a lot of people on the poster, because there's just one person there. You know them there. You know. I hope all of the Lord of the Rings people make cameos. Someone get Viggo Mortensen. Just have him run through once and get murked.
Sean Bean will come back as a ghost and talk to his daughter and look to his left and be like, Pippin?
How about Gandalf? Just
all,
one.
All of them. At this point, you can put anything you want in it, right? Why not have what was that thing that couldn't pass?
The fire thing. I don't remember the name.
Right? Have Saruman show up. Everybody, I want all of them. I love it.
Question posed to you, and I'm going to believe the user's name is Tanai. Best way to become an adult film actor, Douglas.
I believe that that has to do with making yourself have some sort of fetish, some sort of niche demand. So something along the lines of, you know, a tail that can, you know, pleasure the ladies, or like some sort of long, extra long toe or something like that, you know? I think so. Yes.
Don't you just have to be over 18? Isn't that when you become an adult? I'm confused. Most people are adult film stars.
Neither of you get points, and we're moving on. Right, so this week in trailers, first trailer I want to talk about is Moneyball, starring Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and written by Aaron Sorkin.
Billy Bean has tried to reinvent a system that's been working for years. It was a nice theory, just not working out.
How long is Billy Bean gonna last?
He's proven himself right out of a job.
In their minds, it's threatening the game. It's threatening the way that they do things.
Hey, Daddy, do you think you'll lose your job?
What? Where'd you hear that?
Well, I go on the internet sometimes.
Don't go on the internet. Watch TV or talk to people.
You're discounting what scouts have done for 150 years?
What the hell?
What is happening in Oakland?
It defies everything we know about baseball.
Just plain crazy.
If we win with this team, we'll change the game.
This better work. I'm just kidding.
Bobby Kotick. Who's Bobby Kotick?
He's the CEO of Activision. And he's also in the movie. He's probably the most hated person on the planet. Everyone that plays games probably hates him. So
yeah, Moneyball. I think Damon's the first one I want to ask, because he hates anything that has to do with baseball.
Yeah, but loves Sorkin, so the answer is yes.
So Sorkin over...
Yep, pretty much.
Beats
again,
out.
Again, Ian Fincher took Facebook. Something I don't think you guys understand how little interest I have or had in Facebook. Right? I'm not on it. And the story is not fascinating to me in any way. Yet they took this shitty, shitty story and made it awesome. So now, no matter what they do, I am obligated to follow them. I just have to believe whatever they say. Now, when they... If they get it wrong, I'll be pissed. But then I remember they've given me so much in the past. I have to give them a blind. This actually looks kind of good.
And the director also did Capote in 05, which I really loved.
No.
Mm-hmm. I like that movie. So this trailer, how do I say it? It looks fairly decent. It's
Jonah Hill, though. What the hell is he?
I know, right? What is he doing in this movie? But this trailer is pretty good. It kind of shows... The thing about it is that the movie looks fairly average. It looks extremely cliche. It's like, you know, the movie where somebody starts off with a shit sports team, does something crazy... For a while, it doesn't look like it's gonna pay off, and then all of a sudden, it pays off,
yeah,
and they're like,
"Kind of like Facebook."
Exactly.
An asshole comes up with an idea. I know he's rich. I can't wait to see this. This is so entertaining.
But what actually struck me about this movie was
the Sorkin name.
No. About this trailer, sorry, I should have said, was how much it makes Brad Pitt look just like Robert Redford. Did anybody else see that?
Yes.
Now that you point.
Yes, he does. Especially if you remember Robert Redford from The Natural, another baseball movie.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just remaking that movie.
Maybe. But yeah, I guess I'd watch this movie. Like you said, Aaron Sorkin really has, what's the word, earned my blind faith. So
yeah.
I probably should just watch it. But like I say, it looks kind of generic and... cliche, but guess what? Cliche is cliche for a reason. It works.
Why haven't I watched The West Wing yet?
Why haven't you watched The West Wing yet?
I remember when that show was running, I was just too young to care about a TV show about American politics. And I didn't know what the name Aaron Sorkin meant. Those kind of things. But at this point, I really should go back and watch The West Wing.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be my unemployment goal. Watch The West Wing. There's like 8 seasons, right?
I think your unemployment goal should be to get a job.
That too.
Pretty sure. Doing a voice I hope that he gets a job, like a really good job, like a week before TIFF.
You bitch. And I don't hear back about my visa yet, you know. I don't hear back about my visa. I'm supposed to get that back at the end of this week. Or I'll start harassing Canada themselves.
Yeah, that's it's never going to
work. Like, where's my passport?
No one cares. You know, just walk into Canada, there's no border patrol. They need people, there's like 20 million of them on a billion miles of space.
Right, I like baseball movies.
Nope.
I like Brad Pitt.
It's a cricket movie that came out.
Fire in Babylon. The
right.
Documentary, I haven't watched it yet.
I want to watch. I should get around to watch it.
Yeah, I want to watch it. I haven't sat down and watched it yet. But I've been told it's a fantastic documentary.
By who?
My parents.
Oh,
they went to the premiere screening out here, which happened like around a month ago.
I don't believe it. Whatever premieres in Jamaica turns out to be good. Nothing.
No, because, I mean... We had talked to the people who actually did the film. And
so you're biased. Thanks.
they did it in the UK, and they decided they wanted to show it in Jamaica for free.
Okay.
So they had a few screenings out here, and I didn't...
I'm going to watch it anyway. So.
Yeah. I mean, the DVD is out in the UK already on sale on Amazon UK.
$11 on Amazon. So.
Yeah. Anyways, baseball. I like movies about baseball. I like Brad Pitt. I love Aaron Sorkin because he makes people talk funny.
Right, the Miami Dolphins is a baseball team.
Pretty much.
Okay. New York Knicks. Super
Sonics. Yeah, you're having fun with that. Why not hockey teams? You know, we should have hockey teams.
I'm sorry, what?
right. The other trailer this week that we were going to talk about, Attack the Block. So
the
much.
British people is in this movie. It's like the only one that's coming out anytime soon, so you can't miss it.
Believe it, and I landed in the wrong place, though. You get
welcome to London, motherfucker.
Well, now, lads, we discovered a species hitherto unknown to science.
Believe
maybe there was a party at the zoo and a monkey fucked a fish.
Do you think it has any chance of coming out here?
None at all. So, what basically happens is in a community in South London one night, aliens invade. And this group of children decide to take
that
it upon them.
They meet people from another country.
No, people from another planet.
Ah,
invade. You know, they just drop down. They're like running around rampant, having fun. And these children decide that this shit ain't happening in my neighborhood. So they all go out with baseball bats and their bikes and decide to take care of the problem. And Nick Frost is somewhere in the middle. Because we need a name to
sell this movie.
Yeah.
Can't sell it on 5 random kids from Britain.
So, Douglas, you like foreign films?
Not only do I like foreign films, but I love foreign films where each and every actor sounds like Ali G.
Booyaka.
It's not Booyaka. Get it right. It's Booyaka Sha.
Sorry.
You have to have the Sha at the end. You know, and
they talk about the massive, right?
Exactly.
And they talk about the massive.
Stain's massive. And wicked. This trailer looks hilarious. It also looks like it could. What's the word? Miss the target completely. So I'm not sure which way it's going to go, but I hope. And I kind of have enough faith in Nick Frost to believe that it will be really funny and really good.
I hope there are a lot of fuck Arsenal jokes in this movie, because the people are from South London,
yeah.
And I don't know. I need something to laugh at.
Team plays in South London.
I don't know.
Okay.
Is it Fulham? I think it's Fulham.
Sounds like the word.
They're more central. Fulham is more central London. I don't know. I can't remember who is actually South London. Yeah. This movie looks funny. This movie looks funny. It looks funny for like they just brought Nick Frost just to be there in the middle for no reason other than we need
our face.
Yeah. The story should really be those 5 children.
And it probably is.
Yeah.
They're just playing up the fact that Nick Frost is somewhere in this movie. So that people who would go, I'm not watching this, I don't know any of those people, those assholes, wouldn't be tricked by Frost to come and watch it and enjoy themselves.
The question is, why couldn't they get Simon Pegg as well?
He's busy doing all that shit. Who cares?
Star Trek.
Who cares? How about you let us make the movie that they made? As long as it's good, I don't care who's not in the movie. Andrew. Crazy
bro. I agree with Douglas. This movie could completely miss, but I like that they took the chance regardless, and I can't wait to see to hope it
from
makes
everything
it.
I've heard, all of the people who have seen this movie have come back praising the movie. Apparently it's really funny. But funny is very subjective. So I'll be the final judge. But it looks funny enough. The line, you'd have better luck calling the Ghostbusters. I like that, so I can't wait to see this. I was hoping that one of these two bastards would be optimistic with me and believe that it would come to Jamaica, but they shut that down.
Not
and
at all.
Never in hand.
Of course not.
Don't be ridiculous, Dave. Damien, you see.
Don't worry, Tree of Life coming.
Yeah,
while you're at it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Tree of Life.
No, at least this is a comedy. This could actually play in Jamaica. Tree of Life, nobody. Care, never.
First of all, I think if anyone in they played this trailer in Jamaica, all you would get is, I don't know what the hell just happened, because they won't understand anything anyone is saying.
There's enough Jamaicans overseas, and enough of us have friends or family in Britain. They get some of it. A lot of Jamaicans watch football. I mean, we have a lot.
No,
plus
there's certain accents in England which just are hard to get. And I mean, even watching this trailer, there were points where,
they barely speak English.
Yeah,
that's just so funny. Right. I'll watch it when it comes out on Blu-ray.
VOD.
Refuse to watch it in standard. I'm getting really sick and tired of movies that don't come out. I was looking for a Blu-ray for 9 months, for
you know, I haven't seen that movie
or whatever. I freaking love
that's
that.
That's an abortion movie, right? You
know 9 months, 4 weeks, and 3 days.
It's the foreign abortion
it's
movie.
Foreign film, right? About this chick that needs to have an abortion done. And there's no Blu-ray at all. Why? Why, guys? I don't understand. Don't be a menace to society while drinking juice. That is on Blu-ray. Right? I just saw Rambo in high definition. What is... I don't care what you need to do to get it done. Even if I'm the only person buying a copy, make it for... It can't cost that much.
I'm sure.
Just
I'm
send
sure.
one to me. I'll pay... I'll give you $100. It can't cost that much to convert it. It's ridiculous.
I'm sure it only costs that much. Move on.
This is what our killer looks like.
I just saw it.
So, we've been doing this podcast for a really long time. And every week, every week, I fail completely at all of these introductions and segues, and you guys love to mock me.
I wouldn't say completely.
So, I'm going to take a cue from one of Damon and my favorite film podcasts, Film Spotting. I'm going to take a chance at this introduction business into the review segment, so let's see how this goes. This movie, as unadulterated as it is, opens with a scene where we're told up front that the film has no reason. Many films, as they say, depend on this lack of reason from time to time. So I guess the question I have to ask you guys going into this review, Douglas and Damien, is does Rubber succeed in lacking ambition and preferring to go for the route of just plain acceptance, or does it fail completely by lacking reason in a way that alienates the audience completely?
Oh, it succeeds. But you see, I don't think you chose your options correctly, right? Because you made both options essentially the same, right? So it succeeded in failing, which was your first option. But the second option, which was failing, well, it succeeded in that. So yes, it did both, right? So it definitely succeeded in as you, what did you say, lacking ambition.
And alienating
his audience.
Somehow it did both.
It's amazing. So this movie, I have to give credit where credit is due. This movie was pretty. The whole way through, most of the shots were...
HD cameras are cheap nowadays.
Exactly, right? but no. I mean, anybody can buy an HD camera, sure. But the way that this movie...
It's all for you to keep.
But no, the way this movie was filmed, the specific shots that were...
shot selection. It's
pretty good. I was about to say selected.
I'm very excited.
But yes, it was very good. And certain things like the way that they were able to trick you into thinking that the tire was actually moving on its own. There were many scenes where it was clear, oh, they've made sure to have a little teeny tiny bit of the tire outside of the view so that they could move it with their hands. But there were also those scenes where that wasn't the case. And either way, no matter what technique they decided to use, it worked well visually, right? So visually, this movie was excellent. Now, as for the story, right?
What? No,
exactly. Where was it? This movie, it took me a long time to accept that it wasn't, or not accept, but to kind of stop begging for it to stop. because that's really what I was doing for the first 40 minutes. And after a while, it's just like, you know, you're in a situation where somebody's beating the shit out of you, and after a while, you're just like, well, I guess I just have to live with it. And that's what this movie felt like. I'm not going to lie and say that there was no piece of the film that I enjoyed. There were a couple of parts where I was like, yeah, okay, that made me chuckle, or maybe that was crazy enough to elicit some sort of response. But overall, this film lacked... I don't want to say it lacked cohesion, because really and truly it didn't. But if every second I'm asking myself, why am I watching this? And the answer is, oh, I have to watch it because I'm going to review it later. That's not a good thing, right? The answer is, it's not even like there's a piece of me that was like, well, there's some potential. Well, it could go so... No, it was, I have to sit down and I have to watch this because otherwise I'm going to look stupid. And guess what? I could have just not watched the movie and said I saw a movie about a tire rolling and nobody would have been the wiser. So, Damian Richters, what did you think of this film?
I like the movie more than you like me. I love the fact that they gave themselves an out. Right up front, they're like, this movie's not going to make any sense. Clearly, because towards the end of the movie, they realize nothing they write to conclude this movie will make any kind of sense. So I feel that they started writing one movie, came to the point where they went, there's just nothing that can be done here. We have a good first and second act, but there's no way to end this. So we're going to write in the intro that none of this is going to make any sense. Which was amusing. I also enjoyed them punching the fourth wall just mercilessly. Every chance they got, they spoke to the audience, both literally and figuratively. But when it got to the point where nothing at all was making any kind of sense, when they were literally taking steps backward so that they could then move forward, that was the point where I went, you guys try to write yourself an out, but it still doesn't help that this movie, it's not helping that the movie doesn't make any sense. Now you cannot say, well, things happen because they happen, and use that as an out. It doesn't work like that. So, to Andrew's question, he said, you know, does it work? It did for a while. But then there comes a point where if you're going to have someone sit down for, what's this movie, 80 minutes?
About that.
Right. At some point, you must stumble across a story or make it be sketches all the way. You cannot try. You can't have one continuous movie that some parts of it make some kind of sense and then the rest makes absolutely no sense, and then you end the movie and pretend as if we just did this because no, that doesn't work. But I still like, there's parts of it I enjoyed. Like Douglas said, the shot selection for most of it was pretty good. In the beginning, those wide shots, just having the tire rolling, especially when he was rolling over other stuff, clearly it wasn't done in one take, but it gave you that impression, and that was good. I enjoyed the tire going in and actually murdering these people. That was also fun. People acknowledging that the tire is actually... all of that was good. But because they had the whole film, I don't even know, audience within a film.
There was a huge layer of cheese on top
right.
of this film.
Because they told you up front that there were people essentially watching this movie within the movie. That had to be resolved somehow. And they tried to. And that is where the movie simply falls to pieces.
Can I tell you, by the way, so what happens in this movie is, as Damien says, there is an audience that watches this so-called movie. Really what they're doing is they're set up on top of a hill.
Yeah.
They have binoculars and they're just looking at what's going on in the city, in the town. And they are killed off after about 15 minutes.
Right, well, most of them.
Right, most of them. Why? No, this makes the most sense of all. Because they were given breakfast, and that breakfast was a raw turkey. And they swarmed it, and they ate it like wild animals, and that... Wait, no, it doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
No, it doesn't.
No, but they told you up front that...
I know.
Nothing is going to make sense.
This is true. But at the same time...
I think that
was,
is where they overreached.
Yeah.
Because the thing with the robot, if they just had continued, it wouldn't have been 90 minutes. They couldn't have searched at all for 90 minutes. But they could have just told the one story about the robot.
Right.
By adding this movie within a movie.
It was kind of ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah.
The fact that they then killed off some of the audience and then tried to tie it together. That is where... they just clearly ran out of ideas.
But there's one thing that I actually want to point out is that after they killed everybody except one man in the audience who decided he wasn't going to eat anything, they kind of, as you said, tied the two stories together in the sense that, you know, the rubber story existed only as long as there were people to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason they tried to kill everybody was so that they could, you know, lock up shop and just
mm-hmm.
not go any further. And they had to go further. And while the sheriff is clearly one of the ringleaders in the whole operation, and he was trying to explain to everybody else who clearly had no clue what was going on, everybody else being the other so-called actors
right.
in the story. And he was like, listen, it's not real. Look at the corpse. And they're like, the corpse looks pretty real. He's like, okay, you know what? Shoot me with a gun. And they shoot him like four times with a pistol. And you see he gets shot and blood is oozing and whatnot. And he's like, look, I'm not hurt. I'm fine, whatever. And everybody's kind of half believing him. And then he gets a phone call to say that not everybody is dead yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this one audience member. And he says, okay, shit, I'm going to have to continue with the storyline. And I was, at that point, I was actually hoping that once it would almost be like a Wile E. Coyote cartoon, where once he figured out, oh my goodness, there's still an audience, this thing is still going down,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden you look down and the blood would be pumping properly and he'd actually die. I thought that would have been at least a nice little chuckle for me, but no, they didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
No,
it felt like they ran out of ideas and they were trying to come up with something, but whatever the thing that they came up with simply fell on its face. So while part of it was engaging, and I do like the concept of, you know, a sentient robot type murking people.
By the way, that little floppy effect that they have whenever he
mm-hmm.
tries to kill somebody is pretty cool.
Yeah. So good. The movie both succeeds and fails, which is kind of impressive, but the takeaway at the end of it is that it's just not very good. It's not very good.
I'm just like taking this in, trying to count to 10. 10 didn't work, so he's gone to 50 already. And
you fucking this movie is awesome! Tyo kills people! So Andrew,
I remember when we saw the trailer.
We all loved that trailer.
And we all loved the trailer, but we all said to ourselves, "This trailer's all fine and dandy, but I doubt they can like make this run for 90 minutes.
Nope.
And do it right. And I think that they definitely couldn't make it run for 90 minutes and work if it was just a story of the tire running around, blowing off people's heads. And I kind of found it funny that you can kind of take away from the entire story itself, from how it began, that he only started to blow things up because he couldn't run over them. It started out with like a little piece of paper, and he's like, ha ha ha, I can walk over you. And then he sees a bottle, and the bottle stops him, and he's like, psh, bottle, blows it up. And then he gets frustrated and just starts blowing up everything he sees. And still to this day, the tire turning around to blow up somebody makes me laugh.
The one in the gas station.
Actually, I think that my favorite explosion was the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah. But that was set up. That was too, there was too much of a setup for that one. You kind of saw it coming.
Oh, of course, you saw it coming, but you saw most of them coming.
But I truly
threw him out of the room.
What I truly, truly loved about this movie was the addition of the audience. The fact that, I mean, the way it opened with that monologue and giving you an excuse to realize that this movie, as you said, movie not gonna make no fucking sense. Don't try to logic out what we're about to put in front of you. Just accept it.
Yeah, but you can't use that as a hope when you're going to make a Schrödinger cover movie. If Michael Bay at the start of Transformers 2 went, guys, this movie's going to fucking suck, guys. Roll clip!
Yeah, I know, but it's the way everything worked out. Like, even that entire introductory scene where a car is driving up, you see a road full of chairs that the car then drifts from side to side to hit down each chair.
No,
and then he comes out of the trunk of the car, goes up to like a microphone or something, and then gives this monologue, jumps back in the trunk, and then goes off. Right.
Those are the parts of the movie that I enjoyed. There was clearly some things that they had worked a long time on, and those parts worked. It's not like the entire movie is terrible. What doesn't work is the thing that will hold this movie together. Right? The movie is bits and pieces, and there needs to be some cohesion, and there needs to be something at the end, right, that ties this movie together, but there isn't. They tried. It was bad. It was a bad attempt. But I do respect whoever the hell made this movie. And whichever crazy studio put out this movie. I love to be in that meeting.
We have this movie.
It's about
the tire.
It blows
on Peter's head. And there's nothing else.
The only way that pitch worked is if there was like cocaine all over the table.
That's exactly what happened. I'm sure the guy came out and he's like, so I have a presentation for you, lots of PowerPoint, but before we get into that, I've got this bag here.
It was take out like a handful of them. Puffs of cocaine smoke falling down. This smells like cocaine.
It smells good. Nice.
All of them just laughing, and when they're coming out, the secretary confused. What the hell just happened? Why is everybody laughing?
She was like listening at the door, and she's like, I think they said there's a movie about a tire. Who does that?
Where's his shirt? And he made sure to get the money before he left.
Exactly, right?
By the time they came to, they're like, well, the money, already have the money. We don't have to go make the best out of this. It's ridiculous.
Maybe some fucking French.
You guys talk about the lack of cohesion to the end. And, I mean, it definitely felt like how you said, Damien, the writers ran out of ideas. They got frustrated, just like the sheriff did. And they decided, you know what? Let's just put that last thing in there and done.
Let's not bloke everybody.
But at the same time, what I like about this movie is the ambition that it has. It has this crazy idea and goes for it 100% up until that last moment. And the thing about it is, there are so many movies we watch every year, and there's the formula. We see it. We see the happy ending. We see the guy gets the girl. The bad guy gets thrown in jail or shot, and the black guy dies somewhere in the middle. right? First.
Yes.
No, it used to be first.
Ah.
No, they broke the pattern, and now it's somewhere in the middle usually.
But he still has to die.
He still has to die.
Yeah, I think it's a Mexican that is first now.
And every once in a while, there are movies like Robo, which decides to do something completely different from what anyone ever thought a movie could do. And regardless of whether it hits or it misses, I still applaud people for taking these chances, and I appreciate the fact that movies like this exist.
People like you, white curling is a sport. Like, we have no actual ability, but I can push a broom really fast. Yeah. Sport.
And I can slip on ice without falling.
You guys go and curl and see how you guys do.
Guys, bear pong. Sorry, what?
I say we go up against the world's greatest curling team and see how we fare.
Bear pong is fun.
I can't see why that's a sport.
It's not a sport.
Who
says it's a sport?
The bear part has been taken out.
What the fuck?
But it is a sport. I am very serious.
Where is this a sport?
You will see it in your next Olympics, sir.
No, seriously.
I'm very serious.
What?
The curling. If you think they won't put anything in there, they're like, all right, look, rich white people can't win at actual sports. We need other sports to ensure that they're still represented. Like skiing and shooting shit together? Yes. How is that a sport? But look here, man. Look.
Were we talking about a movie at one point?
We don't want to talk about that movie anymore. That's how it was.
Andrew enjoys the ambition of the movie. And that is good. And we all enjoyed it. Me and Douglas, we enjoyed it up to a point.
Yeah, I mean, I was very... what's the word? Negative. I was very vocal about my negativity on this movie. But at the same time, I suppose I do share some of your... appreciation.
This movie is for people like us.
Yeah.
And only people like us. And I mean, the balls and whoever the hell directed this movie must have been massive.
I just clicked on his IMDb page, and this is his third film. I think it's his second feature-length film. And the other feature-length film he's made, which I can't find on Wikipedia because I wanted to see an actual synopsis, is called Steak.
No.
Doesn't have a synopsis, so I can't tell you what it's about.
Do you think that it's about a plate that has steak on it that moves around and kills people?
It's a steak that eats the rest of the plate. I don't know.
Oh, so this guy, he's mentally retarded. I know. I'm pretty sure I heard of. He was the guy that got hit by that bus that one time. I know he's a crazy person.
He's the guy who got a double hit.
All right, that goes around making movies about inanimate objects. I think I heard about this one.
So yeah, I mean, it has issues, but it's honestly, it has a special place in my heart right now.
Andrew, you said something about formula. Formula is what this world is governed by, right? If 1+1 actually was chicken, we'd be fucked. Okay?
But I like people that are actually out there and think 1+1 equals
like
chicken.
You like absolute lunatics.
And you like Lars von Trier, so on with that.
Yeah, but at least his shows made some kind of sense. Unlike this one that made no sense.
So right, we're back again. We're back again with our infamous question segment.
Right, because people need help. All we do is talk for 90 minutes to two hours and talk about what we think. But what if we can pass on some of that knowledge? The wealth of knowledge that we have.
So, as usual, it's a points game between Damien and Douglas. I don't participate anymore because...
You're terrible at
this game. I'm terrible at this game. And people, they just beat me. I determine the points. Right now, based on the podcast so far, you guys are even at zero. So, let's get this started.
This is bad.
Is Human Centipede suitable for my 10-year-old child, Damien?
What no?
Is Human Centipede suitable for my 10-year-old child?
It depends on your 10-year-old child. I haven't seen the movie, but I'm just going to assume that a movie named Human Centipede is a Disney movie about a centipede that interacts with humans. Am I right? Am I close? And if that's the case, then why not? I thought I heard about a movie where people were sewing people's mouths to other people's asses. And I'm pretty sure that was the Millipede or something like that. The Human Spider. So if it was a movie like that, then you probably won't want to show that to your 10-year-old child. Wait until he's like 12 and he can understand, you know, these kind of things. But humans, that sounds about right.
Can you remind me again how old this child is?
10.
10. Yeah, no, he definitely needs to watch this movie, right? Because
I'm not sure where he's going.
I saw Rambo.
You have to educate him early about the realities of life. If you don't know that there is a possibility that somebody will kidnap you and attach you to the rear end of another human being, then you're just not being brought
up.
You have
to prepare your children for the realities of life. I agree with that.
I think this is a tough one. And it is a tough one. I'm going to give Damien 0.
Yes.
And I'm going to give Douglas a half point.
Wow.
A half point.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You're in the lead, Douglas. You're in the lead.
The knowledge. It's not a points game.
I make it into a points game. Because it gives me something to do while I twiddle my thumbs and watch you guys actually have fun. Right. What other question should I ask you? Are you surprised by Stephen Baldwin's lack of success in the last 10 to 15 years, Douglas?
What? Wait. How can you really claim that Stephen Baldwin is unsuccessful? Have you not watched Rehab of the Celebrity Survivor? Really? Really? Are you serious? Come on. Mr. Anonymous Person.
He was
also in a movie with Cindy Crawford. There you go. Done.
Are you sure that's what the question is?
And I'd like to say at this point, Damon is winning.
I don't think I'll put that there. There's no way.
No, it's right there.
First of all, crazy person. Stephen Baldwin. Or am I surprised of his lack of success? No, I'm not. Turns out he was never that good an actor. In fact, he has this brother who's very good, that's been in everything. And he will never come on TV again, unless it's the Rehab Apprentice. I think that's what they call that show. Was he ever in a good movie at any point? Anywhere? Alright, look. Guy, I know you're a fan of Stephen Baldwin. Maybe autograph something for you at one point. But at this point, here's what you need to do. Find him and kill yourselves.
But the truth of the matter is, you have to really ask yourself, do you know who Stephen Baldwin really is? Are you sure that Stephen hasn't actually been replaced with one of his 20,000 brothers? Are you sure that Alec...
Douglas, you're getting minus points right now.
Are you sure that's...
I'm sure that's what it says. So, Damon's at 1, and Douglas is at a half point. So, here's an easy one. Easy one. This one comes from Asker. Yeah, that's what I'm going to call him. Asker.
No, you're at minus one. Asker?
Asker. Alice. Her question is, what movie depressed you the most?
Douglas.
Douglas went first last time. So Damien.
I'm pretty sure the knowledge that they're making another Transformers was depressed me the most.
The movie coming out next month.
You're right. The movie that is actually... the fact that they're still making dancing movies. I saw a commercial for one.
Go for it
or something. Oh, how are they still making those movies? Oh my! Depressed me the most. Twilight. The entire Twilight saga. I saw like 15 minutes. Some dude's fatal, and I was this close to murdering myself, so I'm pretty sure Twilight wins.
I love that you just did believe us that he actually glittered.
He actually sparkles. And people still watch it. How do you pass that point? The people who all greenlit that movie, how did they see that and go, no, keeping that in? The editor didn't. I'm pretty sure the editor must have killed it. Like, just okayed every shot past that. She's like, I don't care what else you put in the movie. If they sparkle, just. Oh, Christ.
So, you know?
Yes, what movie depressed you the most, Douglas?
It's a tie between every William Hurt movie I've ever made.
And after Damien said Twilight, I'm like, that's the answer everyone looking for. That's the right answer. But Douglas found a writer answer.
That is definitely right.
So yeah, Douglas is pulling away one and a half.
Robbie Williams.
Next question. Next question as from Random Pirates Fan. Will Orlando Bloom return for Pirates of the Caribbean 5? Douglas.
I think he's the same guy that needed to know if prior knowledge.
Will he return? The answer is yes when he needs a paycheck.
What? What? Didn't they throw everybody in the Pirates series? Isn't Johnny Depp the
I don't know. I haven't watched the new movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Johnny Depp, Jeffrey Rush, and whoever the first
one. I know that
he's
not in the new movie. That doesn't mean that he died. I don't know.
Alright, guy. Hear what? I know you're a fan of the Pirates movie, but you need to find the Stephen Baldwin fan and join them in the mass murder of themselves. This is not work. No, he'll never come back. He's doing Hobbit. All of them are doing Hobbit.
But Legolas isn't in Hobbit.
Technically, he's not, but you know what I'm saying. They'll find a way to talk about
it. You're like, Legolas is pretty, girls like him. So, at this point, I think Douglas wins the game. But we're just going to have the one last question to leave the audience with, because, you know, we like to hear back from our audience.
Yeah.
So, the question posed by one TJ55 asking the audience is, where can I buy Darth Vader condoms?
I think we said it already.
No, we didn't. No, it was the end of the last one, and I was going through all the other ones.
Oh, okay. But yes, do we still have a Skype number? Can people phone in there?
No.
Also?
Oh. No. But you can email me, and you can email in audio clips if you want. We'll put them in the show. You can email andrew.robinson@gmanreviews.com, and I'll make sure to read all of your emails and play any and all clips. Especially if you make them short. But probably I'll play any and all. So I guess that's the show. Douglas won, so he gets to do the outro. I'm sticking with this game.
Should I do the outro in some sort of fashion, just like the show
I think you have to, I think you have to do it as if you're Captain Jack Sparrow.
I don't think I like this.
I mean, we're going to see how horrible my my impression is going to be.
Johnny Depp's horrible impression of whatever the hell he's putting at this point.
I put out my headphones.
He's moving himself at this point.
So, I can't even try to do the fucking accent.
I just made the outro as racist.
Exactly. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We were you listened to Douglas, Damien, and Captain Andrew Sparrow. I don't know. Okay, this is retarded.
Start over. I just read normal. I'll cut out.
Don't cut this out. People need to hear it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find a podcast on gmanreviews.com. We're also on iTunes, which is probably a little bit bigger site than G-Man Reviews, but not by
what
much.
Is this,
I don't know. Also, you can find us at the Podcast Alley. You can follow Andrew on Facebook at facebook.com/G-Man Reviews. You can follow him on Twitter at twitter.com/. What's the name of his?
I think it's G-Man Reviews.
G-Man Reviews, right. You can follow myself, twitter.com/DJRLostHisName. and Damien is just nowhere to be found. So that's it for us tonight. We hope to see you next week.
Twitter.com/dotty white boy Wasn't that Twitter? Or was it G-Man?